Dusty picks it up, front and centre. Dusty Martin, first goal of the prelim final, and Dusty's got it.
Noah stubs it inside 50. Lynch comes from nowhere. Splits open the pack. Lambert, little inch, a little slider, little ripper. Lambert in the pocket. Goes now. It looks good off the boot. It looks brilliant off the boot.
3 seconds remaining. Off the ground, Molly Wines. And the mark taken by Lynch. And it will be the Tigers go through to another grand final.
Yes, and Shane Edwards will be part of this. And an amazing story. This is one of the great stories of the year, Shane Edwards, who stayed behind, didn't go to the Queensland Hub initially because his partner Samantha was having a baby. And as a result of that, little Maya is now part of the Edwards family. Then when he gets up to the Hub, he's there training with a bloke called Gary Ablett. And guess who he's playing on tomorrow? Gary Ablett for the Premiership Cup. And Shane Edwards joins us from Tigerland up in Brisbane this morning. G'day, Shane.
Hey guys, how are we?
Good, mate. Tell us about that. It's an amazing story. You must have had great heartache in one way and great joy having a beautiful baby daughter and then having to build yourself back into contention with the team.
Yeah, just when you put it like that, it's hard to imagine it fitting it all in one year.
Yeah.
And I suppose, yeah, it's hard to argue that it's, you know, the best year of my life, but also probably the hardest as well. So, I just had to stay positive, and I was surrounded by a few Richmond coaches that stayed back and helped me train. So I was never really too worried about the footy side of things. It was more just feeling like you've, you know, let the team down when you're watching, say we lose a game or something, and you're like, oh, maybe if I was there, it might have been, you know, might have been a bit different, or if, you know, we're winning and I'm missing out on all this fun stuff. And but then all of a sudden, you know, it comes down to the last few weeks before the birth, and you realize the whole time, you know, I've made the right decision. This is why I'm here and all that. And yeah, it's I wasn't short of a few distractions after the birth and beforehand. So time actually went really quickly. And yeah, the guys, they kept in touch with me as much as possible and made me feel a part of it, which is awesome. And yeah, I had some other players stay behind for a while and before they went up after a month. So I was always in good hands. And you know, when you come to quarantine and you're with Gary Ablett and Dan Annabry and stuff training, it adds that extra layer of pressure to not fumble and, you know, I don't want to stuff this session up sort of thing. So there's a bit of pressure that I probably haven't had for a while, so I reckon it might have clicked me back into gear a bit from when I got back to the Hub.
Incredibly humble Shane Edwards, who an All-Australian in 2019, runner-up in the best and fairest in a premiership year, and just an out-and-out superstar, straight back into the team, had immediate impact. We just heard today, yeah, there's still some Tiger and Geelong players living together in the Royal Pines Resort. Shane, Jack Rewalt's been coming up to the dinner table and getting inside the kitchen of Mitch Duncan. So it's been one of those years, hasn't it, to sit there and know that now on grand final day, the guy that you train with in the Hub, Gary Ablett, can you imagine there's going to be a few words exchanged at some stage when you come across the little champ in his last ever game?
I'm just a massive fan of his. I'm not going to be saying anything negative, that's for sure. But, yeah, we see each other all the time at the Pines and at the Royal Pines, all the Geelong guys, and, you know, a few cheeky little bumps in the elevator and stuff is pretty lighthearted. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what it's like after that, because we have to go back to the Pines after the game. So some will be smiling, some will be probably hating us.
Well, it might be like the old days where you have an after match and you go, well, we gave it our best and you guys were too good and you have great respect, which you have. And I loved it, Shane, in that Hub, watching you. It's funny, Shane's so modest, as you said there, Das, because Gary was there, obviously, and you look at Gary Ablett, and Shane had his training sessions all mapped out and he thought, no, he screwed them up, threw them in the bin, just said, I'm going to follow Gary Ablett around. And then behind Shane went everybody else, including my son and me. We're just watching Shane in awe of him in the gym and the work he was going, and you couldn't get a better person to be in isolation with than Shane Edwards, Darcy. He just was such a leader for everybody. He was interacting with Gil McLaughlin, with the kids and everybody. And Shane, you couldn't have impressed the hierarchy of the AFL any more just in your generosity of spirit. And that's why I get to this part and I almost tear up. And is this true that during the Dreamtime game, which of course you would have been a major focus, that all the Tigers wore number 10 and sent you a photo, and you didn't realise the significance of it until a little bit later on, and then you realised they were doing it to bring you into that team, that that Dreamtime game was for you and that the Tigers hadn't forgotten about you. Tell me about that, that impact on you.
Oh, thanks for the kind words, first of all, Eddie. I saw a little glimpse of them on the TV running around with their black shirts on, and they had a number 10 on the little on the front, and I didn't really know why, and the mail sent me a group shot of them in the change rooms, all had like a team photo, smiling with their thumbs up, saying that they're thinking of me, and I was just blown away. It's unbelievable. I've never thought it would have anything to do with me, and you know, from that point on until we got our new tops last week, they had to keep wearing the number 10. So it's probably a bit too awkward for him to take the number 10 off the black tops. So, you know, I cashed in on that one for a few months.
Well, you're one of the most respected and popular players. And as Ed described, everyone who's had any interaction with Shane Edwards couldn't be more complimentary of the person you are. And on Saturday, the day after tomorrow, you get a chance to become a triple premiership player for the Tigers. Wow. Having achieved so much, Shane, you're always so generous with your time. Good luck. It's been a remarkable year. And as always, we wish you all the best.
Thanks for having me, Ed. Das.
Good on you, Shane. Good on you, mate. Good luck. And what a story that is. I reckon Shane Edwards is... the footy world might have been a bit slow to realise how good Shane Edwards was, Das. And I reckon Shane is so modest that he hasn't ever pushed himself forward. But he is a genuine superstar. And when you look at it, 264 games, two premierships, all Australian, second place last year in the best and fairest, longest serving Indigenous Richmond player in the club history. And the fact that he and Basher Hooley stayed home with their partners when they had babies, have been up there and are both running out to play for the Tigers against the Cats on Saturday night. That is just one of the most amazing stories in the history of our game. Just unbelievable. Triple M's Hot Breakfast. Thanks to our great friends at... Ladbrokes as well. Now, Das, one of the more fascinating people I find in our community is the Richmond president, Peggy O'Neill. I think she's just a fantastic leader, and she's done an amazing job at the Richmond Football Club. I caught up with her on my American show, Sirius XM, which is Aussie Footy Rules America. It's now on Apple Podcasts, by the way. If you want to go and have a listen to the extended interview with Peggy, please do so at Apple Podcasts.
Just and Google Podcasts.
And Google, and just put Eddie Maguire in, apparently.
Yep.
And up it will come. But we're going to play some of the grabs from the interview, Das. And the first one I want to go to, in fact, I want to give a little bit of background on Peggy. A lot of people don't quite know all about her. She grew up in what is now an abandoned mining community in West Virginia with her family, who are all coal miners. She was the first person in her family to go to university. She studied law at the University of Virginia. She loves sports. She actually played as a quarterback in the local girls' gridiron team, and then became a lawyer, as I said. Came to Australia with a relationship that she was in at 37 years of age. Then, on October 2013, she took over the Richmond Football Club. And I've got to underline the fact, Das, that she took over a club that actually couldn't get the two vice presidents to agree on who should be the president. And she was sort of the peace offering president at that stage. And everyone sort of thought, oh, here you go, Richmond again. And they've come up with a bit of a cliche here to end the warring factions. Well, anything but that. She has been absolutely sensational. And I caught up with her. And the first question I put to Peggy that we're going to play this morning and get her reaction to is how she fell in love with the AFL and in particular her beloved Richmond Tigers.
Save Our Skins campaign was going on, which was when Richmond was about to go under back in 1990, 1991. And I didn't know much about the sport, but I thought, I'll get behind this community team. and the MCG is an easy walk. And so I started going to games and just fell in love with the sport. And my message to people in the U.S. is this is the best sport in the world. It has everything. The ground is so big. The athleticism is so wonderful. So you ought to get involved in this.
And Das, like a lot of clubs, Richmond, through the 60s, 70s and the early 80s, their motto, eat them alive, they used to eat the opposition alive. And then for 30-something years after that, they devoured themselves from within. And I put to Peggy how she was able to turn around a culture of, well, as I said, infighting, sacking coaches and failure, basically, and turn it into one of the most powerful organisations in the country.
I was always sort of wondering why people thought if you sack the coach, that everybody would get better the next year. You know, there was the usual bounce back. And it's like, are you sure the coach is the problem? Maybe it was something else. So we set about with thinking, let's identify what needs to change, not just some reaction about change something. And it was interesting. The board asked our CEO, Brenda Gale, to sort of plot out what happened in the past. As you said, we change coaches quite often. I wasn't here then, but people would say, oh, you know, they'll sack them. And it turned out that when you plotted the graph of the Richmond Football Club, we were never better the next year. We weren't even better the next 2 years. It was like, sack the coach, we'll get better. And that, to me, seemed a bit short-sighted. So we were determined to find out what needed to change, to work on those things. And the one thing that came back to us that did not need to change was our coach. So Damien was the right person for the job. The players still love playing for him. He has a great connection with his players. And then we set about changing some things around him, more support. We were in a better financial position to provide more resources. So it was one of those, let's just think about this a little while. And in my short time compared to you two in football, there's nothing that's so urgent in football that can't take another week to think about it.
Yeah, and the other person in the interview there was Brian Taylor, of course, the superstar caller of Triple M and Channel 7 and former Richmond player and Coleman medalist at the Collingwood Football Club. The last grab I want to play to you, Darce, is one that seemed to be, to me, a bit of a no-brainer, was that Ash Barty would present the Premiership Cup if Richmond wins on the weekend, mainly because she's here. There's not that many people here who actually qualify to be able to do so.
And she's got a great connection to the club too, Ed. She's trained there and about to
hear
about
that.
Let
Peggy tell us why, Darce. Okay. Yeah. But the point being that in the past, you know, the Premiership Cups were handed out by the Governor of Australia, Governor of Victoria, the Prime Minister, the sponsor. It's only been in recent times that you've actually got a club identity to be involved in the presentation of the Cup. And here's why Peggy O'Neill and her board decided that Ash Barty was the person to do so.
Yes, Ash, as you mentioned, has been a long-time Richmond supporter and actually trained with us when she was in her junior tennis days, when she then went on to win Junior Wimbledon. And so she knows quite a few of the players. She was our Women's Football Team Foundation number one ticket holder. And she's a Queenslander. And because of COVID in that perverse sort of way, she's at home this year rather than traversing the globe playing tennis. So I think she's representative of all our fans who would love to be there to watch. And so for those who are in attendance and those of us who are back here in Melbourne, she's a perfect representative of the fan.
There you go, and I agree entirely. In fact, Rosie, you've got the grab from last night. You're going to play there from 9 News. We'll just get this. We might take some calls after 8 o'clock. Have you got it there nearby?
Yeah, so it should probably start with Brendan Favola on our sister station said that he didn't agree with the decision. And then
they're not happy with Ash Barty presenting the cup.
No, so we'll hear that. And then it was Tony Jones on the news last night asking Ed how you reacted to it.
And this year, the Tigers have nominated Ash Barty, tennis player. And I don't like it at all. I just don't think it's football. She's a supporter. She was in the grandstands about 150 rows back last week with a pot.
Well, your thoughts on that, Eddie?
He doesn't have a great history in Brownlow Medal Week, old Fev, and he's come out and said something stupid, I think, anyway. I mean, everyone's got their opinion, Tony, and I love Fev, and he's entitled to his opinion. I couldn't think of anybody better in a year where the supporters have had to give all of their money, their support and everything for little return as far as being at the game itself. Ash Barty is the epitome of a Richmond supporter. She was the number one ticket holder of their women's team. She trained with the players. She's a dyed-in-the-wool Richmond supporter. But not only that, she's had to put her life, everything about being the number one tennis player, wasn't able to go to the French Open, all that. She epitomises what all the people who barrack for the Richmond Football Club are all about, watching their team in action. I think she's the perfect call.
And thank you for saying that, Ed, last night. I really, really enjoyed watching that on the couch because I was not surprised, but I was very dismayed about the reaction that some people had on Twitter to Ash Barty being chosen, and thank you for saying that because it's just a disgrace.
Another good reason not to have access to Twitter. I just thought that would have been universally well received. Ash Barty, she's just an absolute ripper.
We love you, Ash.
One of the great images.
Enjoy the moment.
Her in the stand holding
having
a beer, the number one tennis player in the world, just sitting there loving the Tigers. How good does that get?
Oh, well, Ed's the voice of reason.
Love it when I love when clubs recognise the supporters.
Yeah.
It's not just about the players out there or the extended coaching staff or even the people who work at the club. It's about the whole community. The community wins the premiership. And on Saturday night, if Geelong or Richmond, one of them will win it, and their entire community will celebrate as one.
And he will be out of control this weekend. Our own Mick Molloy. You'll see him on the front bar tonight at 8:30, which will be huge. Richo, Eddie Betts, Gil McLaughlin, and, of course, Kennedy Molloy this afternoon. Mick, how are you, mate?
Good, mate. The boys have already got their first premiership tattoos. They're neck tats, but they look really good.
Now, how's Mick, your confidence level, mate?
Are you, yeah, sounding confident, yeah,
he's
mate.
He's got that swagger about him.
Mate, I've got my own premiership tattoo. It's a tramp stamp. I thought just a little something for the ladies when I'm reaching down for the bottom shelf. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm not confident, but I think you'll agree it's almost time for a second team out of Richmond. It's just becoming a bit of a procession. We've already organised a good Mad Monday up there, actually. Ed, so, do you have any pull of the pink flamingo?
Yeah, I might not get them straight in, mate.
It's either that or kebab zone. I'm not sure yet. We'll work something out.
Hey, now, what's your thoughts on Ash Barty? Feb wasn't happy.
Jeez. Well, I mean, if they were going to go with a supporter, I mean, I don't know if there's anyone else who springs to mind. I don't know. You know what? If you're going to go with a tennis player, I would have thought Bernard Tomic was probably the better. He's a local boy, and he can get us into Hollywood Playmates afterwards. I suppose if Collingwood had run the flag, they could have got Alicia Bollock.
Oh, it's good to have you back on the hot breakfast, Mick.
I miss you guys.
You come up against a very formidable opponent, the Cats. You've got to pay respect to them, don't you?
Listen, as Hawkins has got a sore throat. Hey, here's a tip. Get a good mental, you dick. What's all that about? And as for Gary, I'll give him this. Gary Ablett, I think, and this is a special moment, but Gary Ablett forever will be remembered as a Gold Coast Suns champion, and he deserves the send-off that he deserves up there. A Gold Coast champion. It's like a home game for him, isn't it, up there? He's unbelievable. Hey, how's this for Geelong? I wouldn't be surprised if Jeremy Cameron lines up this week. Have they done the deal yet?
That's right.
Did you see the Brownlow? See the Brownlow? I don't know if it was Dangerfield or the Great Gatsby. Come on.
it was an interesting attire, that's for sure. Hey, now, Mick, usually there's been a bit of a bet going on in recent times for you every year in the grand final. Anything coming up this year?
Last year, you remember, I said I would do my hair like Mario Chole. They wouldn't. Everyone came for me over summer, so they forced me to do it. I've forgotten all about this. But apparently on the show, when I revealed the Chole, I've gone there, and by the way, if we win this year, I'll get the 4KB. And it's just started doing the rounds on the internet again. So I may be forced. I don't know what my out clause is. I'll tell you what, I'll get it in the downstairs department.
Oh my God!
I'll shave. Okay.
Well, no one will see it then.
Least of all, Mick won't see it.
Well, it was known as the... Okay, Darcy, you just made a very foul word.
He was known as the little master, wasn't he, when he played? So...
Maguire, you're in it too. I'll come to you too.
Now, mate, this is very challenging for the Tigers because you've played most of your home games at the MCG, which has been an incredibly unfair advantage. Now you've got to play away from home at the Gabba, so I'm assuming that's going to be a big challenge.
We can win anywhere, any time. They've taken a bit of the MCG turf out there, so if we play most of our game on that, we should be fine. Did you know which bit they took? I hope which it was bit? A bit that Helen D'Amico used.
Hey, now, Mickey, any chance can you get up here?
No, I can't. I only go once a year, and I'm already booked in for schoolies week, so I just don't want to do it. It's very exciting, though. One more sleep. I can't wait.
Yeah. Good on you, mate.
What about your forward who's been bullying and intimidating and callously dropping his knee on players? You can't align yourself with Tom Lynch's behaviour, surely, mate. That's
Tom Lynch should get the Nobel Peace Prize this year. He has been an absolute superstar. Did you see that passport? They had a shocker, didn't they? So we beat them at home. on their own ground after a week off. And then a Port fan goes and tips a bourbon and Coke on Tom Lynch. And you know they must hate him because it was full. And that's a week's wages for most Port fans. That is, seriously. And they had the worst day there since they changed their chip bucket. Remember that?
Mick, hey, tonight, mate, good luck. The front bar.
Thanks, mate.
Channel 7, 8:30. You got the night to yourself, mate, and it's going to be great. It's been a fantastic year. The ratings have been sensational this year. Mick, congratulations. It's one thing having
you guys
having
got a big one on tomorrow night, haven't you? You guys?
The Sunday Footy Show guys are doing a grand final eve show tomorrow night on Channel 9.
This is what I love about Melbourne. We don't have the footy. We don't have it, but we still put it on. You can talk footy all week in this town. And also, too, just a quick one, boys. How good is Melbourne? Like, in the worst year ever, 2020, the Vixens, there's Storm, there's Geelong and there's Richmond, all teams that have played, been 100 days away from home, not in their own beds, giving us a little ray of sunshine. I love this town. We're the sporting capital of the world. Everyone else can go and get stuff.
Yes, Mickey. Yeah. Well done.
My thoughts, exactly. front bar tonight, Richo, Eddie Betts, Gil McLaughlin, and, of course, the boys in action, led by our great friend and comedy legend, Mick Molloy. Mick, we wish you all the best. I say that sincerely, mate. 8:30 tonight, Channel 7. And it's the front bar tonight. So
I reckon
it's going to be
Saturday night. There'll be a drone specifically flying over Molloy's house just to make sure that if the Tigers win.
I think the word you're looking for is cluster or hotspot.
I love the fact that Mick's old fella is going to be known as KB for the rest of his life.
Okay, that's enough, Maguire.